Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. This is part two of a special two-part episode. If you haven't listened to part one already, check out our previous episode, episode 57. And now here's Paul Dean with part two of It's Time for the Shutdown to End.
A lot of Christian leaders have been echoing Russell Moore and saying this is not a religious liberty issue, and some of those Christian leaders have awakened. You know, I'm reminded of what, was it Yamamoto or was it someone else? I'm not sure, but back in World War II, when in the aftermath of the attack on Pearl Harbor, the question was put to him, what have we done? And he said something to the effect, I fear we've awakened a sleeping giant. Well, there are sleeping giants in the evangelical world, some, not all, but some who have suddenly awakened. And I'm so glad they've come to the fore now and they're saying what ought to be said. I'm a very small voice, even though what I'm saying is truth. All of a sudden, we've got some larger voices saying the same thing I'm saying in terms of the fact that our religious freedoms are being eroded right before our very eyes. It's not just religious freedom, it's freedom in general. I've quoted Judge Andrew Napolitano, among others, extensively, and the reality is, constitutionally, these governors, these mayors, the president, they don't have the right to shut the economy down. They don't have the right to force us to stay in our homes. And then, of course, there's not only the Constitution and the fact that, and I won't go down because we've this road too far and give you all these details because we've talked about them on previous broadcasts. Please check them out. But we also have the issue of the separation of powers. And it's the Congress, the legislature, that makes the laws, not the president, not the governors, not the executive branch, not the judicial branch. It's the legislative branch that makes the laws. It's the judicial branch that interprets the laws. And it's the executive branch that enforces the laws. And James Madison built in the Constitution, among others, this separation of powers so that no one branch of government could have more power than the other, and so that power could be checked. You know, as Lord Acton said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's rooted in an understanding of human nature, the total depravity of man. It shouldn't surprise us that any of us are capable of becoming petty dictators and totalitarians. How many totalitarians are out there today telling their leaders and telling us through social media that we ought to shelter in place, we ought to stay home, go home, these folk that are reporting us, etc., for not staying inside? That's just total depravity. But the point I'm making with the separation of powers is, once again, the governors and the mayors, the president, they don't have the right to issue these orders. They're usurping their authority, and the legislature needs to call them down on it. The judiciary needs to call them down on it. They've got to be reined in. And then, of course, we've got the numbers. What am I talking about today, by the way? Let's not lose sight of that. It's time for the shutdown to end. That's what I'm talking about today. And I hope I promise you, I'm not trying to come across harsh. I'm not being ugly. I hope I'm not coming across that way. I'm just simply putting it out there. I'm being blunt. I'm being forthright. I think we owe it to one another to be blunt and forthright. And again, I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly because we've talked about this on other broadcasts. I've written about it. Don't have time to give a whole lot of detail. Just giving the overview here and just a brief overview at that. But what about the numbers, this whole COVID-19 thing? I mean, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. But the loss of one life is tragic. We all believe that. And again, all these folk are saying that we don't care if a life is lost. Listen, please. But I will say, we're talking about numbers now, the projections, the fear-mongering, the projections that we've been given, the Bill Gates model and Fauci, Fauci ought to be fired, by the way, but he, along with Bill Gates, is one of the most dangerous men on the planet. Population control, eugenics, the whole bit. You need to check it out. Fauci, you know, he's basically said he hadn't even thought about the economic fallout. He hasn't given it one thought. Let me tell you something. If you haven't given one thought to the economic fallout, to the suffering and pain that is going to be foisted and has been foisted upon millions, that is evil. It is just evil. You know, all he cares about is his agenda. He says saving lives, but no, I got to be careful here because I'm not trying to pop off. But the projections are way up. They first tried to tell us 2.2 million people are going to die in the United States alone. Then they said, well, with mitigation and with, you know, social distancing, 200,000, 240,000 will die in the United States. And so here we are, and I don't know what we are today. Maybe 25,000 have died in the United States, maybe 30,000, something like that. That's a lot, no doubt about it. Tragic, no doubt about it. But there's a big difference between 30,000 and 200 million, 240,000. I think they're projecting now that it's going to top out at about 60,000 in the United States. I think that number is going to be revised a little bit lower. Just watch. Did you know we're running numbers constantly here? I live in the state of South Carolina, and if you've been watching the news, you've heard us mention many, many times. And, you know, we have a fairly populous state, and we have like 5 million people in our state, and the number of cases today as of April the 16th, April the 17th, the number of cases in South Carolina, I'm not talking about the number of deaths, but the number of cases is less than 1%. Less than 1% of our population. It's just 0.0017 or 0.000. I don't know what it is, but it's something like that. I don't know how many zeros, but it's less than 1%. It's flu-like numbers. You know, one of the things that you can look at is whether or not the total deaths in any given year. I mean, statistically speaking, we know how many people are going to die in any given year. Have the total number of deaths risen appreciably? Is this coronavirus increasing the total number of deaths? And the answer is no, it's not. I'm not saying people aren't dying from coronavirus, but you also know as well as I that the numbers are being manipulated and that now every death where a doctor suspects COVID-19, they don't have to do the test. It's automatically classified as a COVID-19 death. And there's a very big difference between dying with coronavirus and dying from coronavirus. And many, many people are dying, say, from tuberculosis or from COPD or from pneumonia or from cancer or from diabetes complications or from heart disease, and yet they're being classified as COVID-19 deaths. That's a total lie. To do that is a total lie. It's a fact that it's happening. And doctors, you've got doctors by the score now coming out, and I don't know where they've been. Maybe they've been out there and it just took us a while to find them because their voices are so small compared to the mainstream media and those who are in bed with Big Pharma. But you've got doctors by the score now who are saying the shutdown was all wrong. They weren't in favor of it from the beginning. It prevents herd immunity. It's not that if we lessen the mitigation techniques per se, oh, that we're going to have some sort of resurgence. It's because if you lessen the mitigation after shutting it down like you have, people don't have herd immunity, which we would have had. Or I shouldn't say people. We as a collective, as a group, wouldn't have herd immunity. We would have had that. And we know the numbers are wrong. You can't trust any numbers you hear now. You don't know if, in fact, these are COVID-19 deaths or deaths due to something else. We don't know how many people have been tested. So the percentages are all wrong. Doctors are coming out. It's not just me. Doctors by the score are saying you can't trust any of this. You know, when President Trump came out and said that it could be that the cure is worse than the virus, that's probably the most massive understatement he's ever made. And again, the loss of life is tragic, just any one life. There's no doubt about it. But you know what else is tragic? The economic fallout is tragic. You wait until you see people in the street. You wait till you see the social unrest. Wait, people losing their homes. You think we had an issue in 2008, 2009? You've seen nothing. And again, I'm not a doomsdayer. I hope I'm wrong about that, but a lot of the folk that I read, a lot of the folk that you read, how can we not? I mean, we've already had, one of the most robust economies going, and now we've got, 30% unemployment? I mean, how can it not be a major depression? How can it not be worse than the crash of 1929? Well, we'll see. I pray it's not. But all of the things that result from it, the depression, the suicides, maybe domestic abuse is on the rise, mental health issues, obviously on the rise. And people are afraid to go to church. I mean, they'll go to the grocery store, maybe because they have to, or maybe because they think it's safe because they allow us to, but they're afraid to go to church. But you know what? Just in general, I go into the grocery store, And people, I see people wearing masks and gloves. And if I start to get near them, because I'm just looking at what I need to buy, they'll back away. That is tragic. You got people so fearful that they'll wear a mask and they want you to wear a mask. And if you're not wearing a mask, they're going to back away. They'll back away even if you are. But they'll want to force you to wear a mask by law. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And it's because the mainstream media has done a number, and Dr. Fauci and those of his ilk, they've done a number, and they have scared them out of their wits. Some of these folk are saying that if it takes social distancing for the next 18 months, this total shutdown for the next 18 months, we'll do it. You know what? You can't survive for 18 months without an income. Nobody can. Of course, they want to, turn the whole world into a socialist dynamic. Well, you can't do that without money coming from the taxpayers. It's not my purpose here to talk about economics. I'm just talking about why we've got to end this thing. It's got to end. I'm making a plea. I don't know how I'm coming across. I don't want to come across ugly, harsh, preachy, anything. Uncaring, unkind. But I'm making a plea. I'm trying to think biblically. And, overlook my tone if it's not right, if it's not appealing to you. I'm not trying to be harsh, I promise. But I don't want to be, what's the word? Sometimes I'll say things in such a way that folk are not sure what I've said because I don't like offending people. And, it might come across as uncertain or wishy-washy. I don't want to come across that way. I'm trying to sound a clear note. A clear note. And maybe something I should have kept to myself has slipped out. We all do that. Please forgive me. But we know that the mainstream media is shilling for the government. We know that. We've never done this before. We've had real pandemics, real plagues that are far worse than this, and the world wasn't shut down over it. Folks, here's the issue that I'm talking about. Are you ready for this? Our liberty, it's not just like we're going to pick up where we left off after a minor six-week inconvenience. But we go through the end of April, at least here in America, it's six weeks that we've been shut down. Okay, that's a major catastrophe, but let's call it a major or a minor inconvenience. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that our world will never be the same if we don't stand up and do something about what I'm talking about right now. That is the loss of liberty. Letting the government and those who don't understand what they're doing, the pragmatic folks out there, you might be one of them. I pray you're not. I pray you'll change after listening to this. But if we let the government get away with what they're doing, your liberties are gone. This will be a regular thing. You'll have to have the vaccination digital card that Bill Gates wants everyone to have. You won't be able to travel without it. I mean, I could go on. I've written on it more extensively, but there's no way that human beings are meant to live that way. It's slavery. Our liberties are gone unless we do something. I've been saying that from the beginning. Let's not forget about all of the agendas. I've already mentioned Dr. Fauci. I've already mentioned Bill Gates. The political maneuvering. I mean, just think of this. The mainstream media, just a couple of weeks ago, they were calling for President Trump to shut down the whole country. Remember that? All the fear-mongering, and he was reluctant to issue an order. He had put guidelines in place, but he didn't say that every state, you know, had to issue a shutdown order, a stay-at-home order. A lot of states had done, but there were several holders, like nine states that were holding out at the time. South Carolina was one of them. They ended up caving. The Governor McMaster ended up caving, but I think there's one, maybe two left. I'm not sure. But the mainstream media, they were calling for President Trump to rein in these rogue governors and shut the whole country down. You have the authority. Do you remember that? But then, just a few days ago, what did President Trump say when he started talking about opening up the country again, perhaps by May 1st, and some of the governors and the mainstream media were bucking that, and the president claimed that he had total authority in that area. Well, why do you think he claimed that? Well, who knows why, ultimately. He certainly doesn't have that kind of authority. I'll grant you that. And he shouldn't have said it, and it's evil to even think that. But part of the reason he said it is because the mainstream media themselves had told them he had that authority just a couple of weeks prior to. Now the mainstream media is jumping on him or criticizing him for saying he has that authority. And they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. The governors have the rights. Do you realize the liberal mainstream media now are calling for states' rights? That's what the Civil War was fought over, ultimately. Not that there weren't other issues, but that's what it was fought over. And now this doctrine of states' rights that is anathema to mainstream media, liberals, the collectivists, the Democrats, collectivism and centralized authority is their whole religion. And now they're calling for states' rights. Why? Because President Trump said he had absolute authority. Yet when he didn't do what they wanted him to do, which is shut down the states, they claimed he did have absolute authority. If anybody cannot see the scam that is being perpetrated against our eyes right now, and the double talk and the both sides of the mouth, if anybody can't see that, they're just not looking. They're not looking at the news. They're not listening. They're not thinking. You have to have a special kind of blindness not to see, after everything I've said today, the numbers that have been manipulated, the projections that were grossly exaggerated, the agendas on the table, the double speak, the talking out of both sides of their mouths. If you can't see that we're being scammed, you're just not looking. I'm begging you. It's time to end it. Time to end the shutdown. You know, I've been trying to be a good citizen, just like many of our brothers and sisters, just like you probably, trying not to look like a rebel, even though I know this is trouble, even though I'm saying what I'm saying. Just going about my business. I'm certainly not wearing a mask, but I'm not, you know, coughing on people. I'm not coughing anyway, but I'm not getting near people that don't want me near. I'm not out there in the park throwing the frisbee. You know, I just go to work. I go to the store, I go home, I do hang out in my backyard. You know, by the grace of God, I've got a little open space. My daughter, Christy, out in California, she can't even leave her apartment except to go to the store, but they can't hang out in the back. There's nowhere to hang out, and they don't let them out anyway. But that's beside the point. My point is, and listen, the mask, can I just give you a little side issue? Just a side issue. Masks don't do anything. They really don't. And we heard that for a long, 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 long time. Masks don't really protect you. Now, all of a sudden, they're requiring that we wear masks in certain places. There are certain grocery stores in my town where you can't get in unless you're wearing a mask. And I think part of some of the orders from some of the governors, you have to wear a mask. This is ridiculous. First off, you don't have the right to tell me to wear a mask. Secondly, it isn't really do any good. Old school thinking says that it's necessary. That's because they used to make a distinction between droplets that would, you know, get on people if you sneezed or if you coughed, and they thought, okay, well, you can catch the virus from that, and the mask will protect you from that. And then they made a distinction between those droplets and like an airborne, you know, transmission or like an airborne pathogen. But if you wear a mask, then unless it's what they called, you know, like an airborne pathogen, well, then, you know, you're protected. But we now know those distinctions are false distinctions. Any time we talk, you don't have to cough. You can cough, you can sneeze, but you can just talk, you can just breathe, and you're engaging in what they call aerosol transmission. Aerosol transmission, just particles, minute particles that you can't see, and the mask does not protect you from those particles. It doesn't filter them out, and of course, they get in on the sides. I mean, masks don't protect you from aerosol transmission, and everything's aerosol transmission. I don't know why I decided to go down that road, but hey, I'm by myself today. I don't have Christy here to rein me in. I don't know if she's going to hate this rambling broadcast. Or she's going to say, good job, Dad, but I should have been there to help you stay on track. Forgive me. I don't know. We'll see. She's certainly one who understands these issues, knows how to think biblically. Do you realize the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches? I'm not part of that denomination, but the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, CREC for short, they've come out with a petition. They've said it's time to end the shutdown. And they say within weeks, not months, within weeks. They're trying to be patient, just like me. You know, you should read this letter that they've written to the authorities, you know, thanking them for all their hard work. I've done that myself. I've written to the governor of South Carolina and others. And very kind, very respectful, and I mean that. We're supposed to honor those in positions of authority, whether they're doing right or not. But, you know, they're in a little bit of a different place than I am on their view of government. Romans 13, you know, they do think that it's the government's role to protect the general welfare. But they also believe, just like all Christians, there comes a point where, wait a minute, we can't, you know, allow this to continue. I don't know what their criteria would be, since their understanding of Romans 13 is slightly different than mine. I think you got to have an exegetical basis for doing anything you do. And that's why I have no qualms in not obeying the government if I feel like they're asking me to do something I don't want to do. I mean, you know, all I have to do is answer to God. You know, whether or not, am I glorifying God? That's my question. You know, if it glorifies God for me to submit, then I will submit. If it does not glorify God for me to submit, then I will not submit. And if it's a liberty of issue, then I weigh the consequences. And that's where you make a pragmatic call. And if I feel like the risk is worth it, and it's a liberty issue, then I won't submit. But if I feel like it's too great a risk, or too many people are going to misunderstand, or, you know, somebody might question me, or whatever the case may be, then I'll probably submit. It all depends. Anyway, I don't want this to sound like, a thousand what ifs. But I'm saying that CREC, the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, they've come out. They've got this, you know, petition, and within weeks, and you know what they're saying? They're saying if the shutdown doesn't happen in a few weeks, they are going to engage in civil disobedience. This is a Reformed church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to stand together. I'm willing to be patient a little longer myself. I've said this privately. Primarily because of my brothers and sisters in Christ who wouldn't understand if I weren't patient. But at the same time, I have brothers and sisters in Christ who said, we're not going to wait forever. I'm not going to wait forever either. It's not a threat. It's just we can't wait forever. Now, like I said earlier, and by the way, my deadline is the end of April. My personal deadline, that's it. I'm done. End of April. Now, what does that look like? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm about to wrap this up, I promise. But here's what I'm saying. I've tried to be patient, but there comes a point where you can't be patient any longer and feel like you're honoring God if you're thinking deeply about these things. And, you know, if I'm the only one out there, you know, being civilly disobedient, it's not going to matter. Nero's going to come down on me. Caesar's going to come down on me. I'll be gone. You'll never hear from me again. So the only way that we're going to have any sense of normality when we come out of this, any sense of what life used to be like, I'm talking about our liberties, is if thousands and thousands of people stand up and say, we are not going to let you take away our liberties. They took away so many of them in the aftermath of 9/11. We never got them back. These liberties are taken. They have taken away right now. Let me tell you something. We're not going to get them back unless we stand up and say, we're not going to let you take them. So end of April, what does that look like? I don't know what it looks like. I've got some ideas. Maybe I'll talk about them in the future. Maybe not. But we are in that Romans 13 moment. And there comes a time when you can't submit for the sake of truth, for the sake of freedom. It's time for another Boston Tea Party. It's upon us. It's about 2 weeks away at the most. A Patrick Henry commitment. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, I was taught in school that the Constitution, as I've said, was the law of the land, not some arbitrary ruling by a mayor, a governor, even a president. And the Declaration of Independence, you know, what does it say? Something to the effect when a long train of abuses and usurpations, right? It's our right, it's our duty to throw off such government. That's right in our Constitution. It is our duty to throw off government that is trampling our liberties like they're doing now. Now, you know, there are many ways to throw it off, but I'm talking about civil disobedience. If they don't lift the ban. So what am I doing? I'm doing what I can do in my little corner of God's vineyard to say it's time to end the shutdown. Please stand with me. Please stand with your brothers and sisters. Please stand with your fellow Americans in this hour. I think that too many people and too many Christians don't realize. You know, a lot of folks said, we don't realize how deadly the coronavirus is. Well, they were all wrong. It's deadly, but not like they were saying. You understand what I'm saying? And so maybe we'll get, you know, some sort of economic recovery really quickly. I doubt it. Maybe we'll be able to have all our liberties back and we won't have another shutdown for another 20 years. I doubt it. So I'm saying, let's make sure. Let's make sure that we maintain our liberties. Let's stand together, please. I'll talk about something else, but I'm sure I'll circle back around to this on some future broadcast, but we'll see what happens. But join me regardless next time on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. The gospel.